Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
It was reported that Al Horford is leaving the Celtics, that the Chris Paul-James Harden relationship is, quote, unsalvageable, that the Lakers are looking to make another move so they can create a max salary spot. The Rockets are also looking to make a run at Jimmy Butler, and the Knicks have rejected a trade offer from the Hawks. All of that went down in the last 21 hours. Now, may I Hawk? Not Hawk. The Atlanta Hawks. Might I remind you that... Alvy, getting nice. It's Wednesday, bro. Save some of that for Friday. Might I remind you that the Raptors won the NBA title less than 1 week ago. In fact, they won it so recently that Serge Ibaka was tweeting out this video with Kawhi Leonard yesterday.
Yo, fun guy. How hungry are you, bro?
Very.
Bro, I know you have been eating very healthy all year long, and you try to take care of your body, right?
Definitely.
But now you are an NBA champion. What is the worst junk food you cannot wait to eat?
I'm just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time.
Yeah, I don't know who's holding on to that phone. Feel free to turn that thing on its side. Anyway, the audio is gold. I love the way Serge starts off with, yo, fun guy. And what's the fun guy doing? What has the fun guy done since the end of the season and that championship? Quote, just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time. Hell yeah. That's outstanding. This is for all you losers who still want to argue that Kawhi is just some sort of cyborg, some sort of robot, and that he was going to celebrate his second championship by simply going back to the base station and getting new batteries. Sure he's not. My man's going to hit the sauce. He's going to hit the sauce, and he's going to hit the sweets all the time. Again, you really think this dude is robotic and that he has no personality at all? The guy does. He just doesn't want to show it to everybody. But now he's starting to let us in. He's starting to give us a glimpse of who he is and how it really is. First, we get the video of Kawhi doing the Kawhi laugh.
Thank you. And like they said, enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
You get that first, and now he's laying out his post-championship diet. I could not be more hyped for it.
Bro, I know you have been eating very healthy all year long. And you try to take care of your body, right?
Definitely.
But now you are an NBA champion. What is the worst junk food you cannot wait to eat?
I'm just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time.
Such an amazing exchange. I'm not sure who's laughing harder about that, Serge Ibaka or Jim Rome. Honestly, his post-title diet sounds a lot like the rest of our regular diets. Hell. Just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time is a great line. I love that the guy is letting his personality show because it's tremendous. My man speaks in t-shirt slogans. That's right up there with Bored Man Gets Paid. Bored Man smashes alcohol and eats desserts. This guy's like having one of the best years ever by anybody. From hated villain in San Antonio to dynasty slayer in Toronto. From New Balance punchline to new hero of Canada. From low carbs and lean protein to sugar and sauce. This guy truly is living the best life. He's living all of our best lives. It's a party. He's having a party. But you know who's not having a party? Chris Paul and James Harden. Because one report after another would indicate they're not drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time. At least not together. Yahoo has chased that ESPN report with one that referred to their relationship as, quote, unsalvageable. And it included the following details. They went nearly 2 months without speaking to each other during the season. Harden has not returned Paul's repeated attempts at communicating in the offseason. And then this amazing quote from a source. There's no respect at all on either side. They need to get away from one another. Chris does not respect James's standing in the league, and James doesn't respect the work that Chris has put into this point. End quote. It's literally one of the best quotes ever, even if it's from an anonymous source. Yeah, I'm sorry. Chris Paul doesn't respect James Harden standing in the league. The hell is that? I mean, seriously, what? Like, he doesn't think that Harden is good? He doesn't think he's that good? Oh, yeah, you. Oh, yeah, Beard. You're the reigning MVP and a surefire Hall of Famer. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Watch me dribble into the lane, get trapped, be unable to elevate at all, and heave the ball up in desperation and flop around like I just took a cannonball blast. Now that's standing in the league, Beard. Why don't you put some respect on that, Beard? Oh wait, there's more. Because according to Yahoo, Chris Paul reportedly went to management and demanded a trade, while James Harden went to management and issued a him or me edict. Man, now we're getting somewhere. Again, what's better? What's better here? An untradeable guy demanding a trade, or the other guy telling management, it's me or it's him? And then when the story showed up on Instagram, CP3 jumped into the comments with a shrugging emoji and said, quote, damn, that's news to me, end quote. My man's like, come on. Yo, I'm CP3. Everybody loves me. I'm funny. I'm the best guy ever. I'm nice. I'm the original banana boater. Man, I'm that awesome dude from the State Farm commercials. Yeah, sure you're not. Look, I always say this. We don't really know any of these guys. But I'm pretty sure that Chris Paul is not necessarily who he'd like you to think that he is. Not if the Beard is issuing me or him edicts. And not when you realize this is not the first time we've heard things like this about Chris Paul. Not saying that he's not a Hall of Famer. Not saying that he's not a great player. What I am saying is he's not the player he used to be. He really isn't tradable unless you want pennies on the dollar. And he's not necessarily who he'd like you to think he is. Now, to be fair to him, we're not there. So we really don't know exactly what's going on, right? But there's a hell of a lot of smoke. There's a hell of a lot of smoke. And there are two separate, extremely damning media reports that dropped one right after another, alleging a terrible relationship between the team's two stars. And in a moment when the Rockets should be fired up to be the favorites in the West next season, they appear to be imploding, and there are some really bad leaks on the inside. So the question is, where is it all coming from? Is it coming from sources who want Chris Paul out? Or is it coming from Paul's camp because he wants to get out? Who knows? But where there is that much smoke, there is generally fire. And it sounds like somebody's trying to burn that house down.
Burning.
Oh, and there are reports that they're going to make a run at Jimmy Butler. Listen, if anybody can figure this out, it's Daryl Morey. I'm just not sure that anybody can figure this out. And then in the middle of all of this comes the report that Al Horford was not opting out to take a team-friendly deal with the Celtics. He was just opting out, flat out opting out, so he could bounce and go someplace else. So in a matter of days, the Celtics didn't make that move for AD. Kyrie ghosted them, and now Al Horford is leaving them. And then on Twitter, you could see members of every other fan base practically throwing a digital parade. Like, if you thought the Raptor fans were pumped about winning a title, you didn't see Laker fan, Sixer fan, Knick fan, and pretty much every other fan rushing in to kill Celtic fan. Because that dream situation that Boston Honks have been hyping for the past 2 years, Kyrie, Gordon, Horford, and the kids, has blown up right in their face. Boy, Alvin, you're just all over the drops, aren't you? Like I said, save some of that for Friday. All Celtic fans were talking about was the fact that they were going to become the new dynasty. They were the new Golden State Warriors. And now it's all going to hell. Now it's all ripping apart. And no, I'm not here to bury Danny Ainge. There were a lot of smart moves in there that simply didn't work out. Gordon got hurt. Kyrie turned out to be maybe the weirdest dude on the planet. And Horford just wants to be someplace else. It happens. Just don't think for a second that this all worked out, that this is all going according to plan. Unless the plan was to get really close last year, get bounced this year, see your face to the franchise leave after promising to stay, and then to miss on a future Hall of Fame big who you just assumed would love to come and join your party. If that was the plan, then yes, this is all going according to plan. In the meantime, Kawhi is simply housing booze and desserts both.
I'm just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time.
And laughing at the entire world. Hey, now it's summertime, so it's all good, right? Absolutely. Well, except for one thing. The only thing I don't like about summer are the freaking bugs, the insects. They're all over the place. Thankfully, we've got our friends over at Dynatrap. Dynatrap is the leading manufacturer of outdoor mosquito and insect traps. You probably know that. However, did you know they also have come up with a solution for indoor pests? The Dynatrap Flylight. The Dynatrap Flylight works day and night to attract and trap flies and fruit flies, plus mosquitoes, any pesky insect. And I'm telling you, this thing works. It works great. Tell me you're not still rocking those disgusting fly strips. It's like the nastiest thing ever. The Dynatrap Flylight looks like a subtle nightlight, and it plugs into any indoor outlet. Trust me, I have been using one. I have, and it works. Big time. Get yours at Dynatrap.com. That's DynaTrap.com. Enter the promo code Rome. Get 15% off any of their products. Dynatrap, the safe, silent, and simple solution to household insect control. We're joined by the coach, Nick Nurse. Nick, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you today?
Nick, I'm great. You and I spoke in July shortly after you were hired. I've got to ask, Nick, what was the last year of your life like, and has it been what you expected it to be?
Exactly how we planned it, right. Jim, to be honest. No, it was great. I think we got off to a good start. Thought we had a team that could contend, you know, at least knock at the door and make some noise in the East and hopefully get a shot at the finals. And I think we just kept getting better, made a couple acquisitions, got into the playoffs and started playing really well and kind of ball bounced our way a little bit. So we come out of there with the title. So it was a hell of a ride.
Hell of a ride. I got to ask, I mean, you are Nick Nurse from Carroll, Iowa. You played your college ball at Northern Iowa. As you and I have talked about, you coached in places like Granville University, in Great Britain, in the Belgian League, in the D-League. You are now an NBA champion. Does it all feel real at this point?
Parts of it do, Jim. I mean, you know, I think in the games and going through the run, it was, you know, pretty much like a lot of the other ones. I know that sounds silly. Obviously, a lot more eyeballs and media and all that stuff, but the games and the prep and getting a bunch of guys to play hard and, you know, develop chemistry and, you know, hang in there when things didn't go our way and just keep fighting was the same as it felt at all the levels basketball-wise. Last few days it felt a little strange. You know, the parade was incredible, like, to go through and you know, just funny things like, right after the game, I'm getting interviewed by Kevin McHale and Isaiah Thomas, and those are guys I watched as a kid growing up, you know, like heroes of mine, winning NBA titles, and I don't know, coming on your show. It wasn't long ago when I was listening to you every day driving to work, you know, when I was coaching in Iowa or whatever, so it's pretty interesting.
My man, that's great. I appreciate you saying that. It's really interesting. You know, and when you look at the parade, you talk about the energy of the parade. I mean, there's never been any doubt, Nick, about the passion of the fans in Toronto. It is such an insanely supportive fan base. What was it like then to bring them a world championship and to see them experience the level of joy that they're experiencing even right now?
Well, it was great. I mean, the parade obviously was you know, it was just a sea of people, and at times the cheering was deafening, you know, just driving down the street and that. So it was really a wild experience to be in the middle of it. But it was neat to see kind of the Canadian pride and the City of Toronto pride grow as the series kind of clicked off and went further, and you could just sense it. And I say this, and I may be totally off base here, but when we had game one and every single person in the crowd sang "O Canada" at the top of their lungs, you could almost look down and see the Warriors coaches and players like, holy moly, you know, we've been to five straight finals and we've never experienced anything like this.
Wow. Nick Nurse joining us. I think there is something to that. From the outside looking in, I could see where you'd say that. Now, you've got the joy, Nick, that the fans feel, but then you've got the joy that the players feel. For instance, knowing what Kyle Lowry has been through over the years and then what he meant to your team both on the floor and off it this year, how hard this guy battles, how he brings it, how good did it feel for you to see him win that ring?
Yeah, it was amazing, Jim. I think, boy, you hit it all right on the head. He played so great during the playoffs, and he didn't always have the greatest playoff runs, and almost played with a level of frustration at times, and he just wasn't that guy this year. He just led, and some nights he'd score, some nights he wouldn't, and the nights he wouldn't, he would still impact the games in 20 other ways, and some nights he knew we needed to get off to a fast start, and he'd come out and get us going. And I don't know, he was just so good, and it was great to see him reach the top of, you know, his profession with that championship. He was absolutely a joy to coach, and I say this all the time about I've never seen anybody play harder than that guy, and that's a hell of a – I can't give a guy a bigger compliment than that.
That's extremely high praise. Nick Nurse joining us, head coach of the Raptors. You know, Nick, I could ask you about any number of your guys. I'm going to pick my spots, but I want to ask you about Marc Gasol. Now, you coached against Pau Gasol way back in the day when you were in Europe. So what was it like when Marc arrived in the trade this season, and what did he bring to your team?
Yeah, Marc is a good player. I actually coached against both of them internationally when they were playing with Spain. And coached against Pau in a club level in the Euro Cup a long time ago, like 20 years ago. But anyway, I think Marc Smart, one of the best passing bigs the game's, you know, seen in a conversation at least for it. And he's tough, and those are good attributes to bring to a team. A veteran guy who's gone deep in the playoffs, and he really kind of changed. I thought our assist numbers went way up, Jim. We started shooting a three. I think we were the number one three-point shooting team in the league after the trade, and that was just all with a little bit more contagious passing, and rhythm was a little better. We were a little more open, and he brought a lot of that stuff.
Nick Nurse joining us. So, Nick, it's been a little less than a year since Kawhi Leonard arrived. What do you know about him and coaching him now that maybe you didn't know when he first arrived?
Well, he has a gear that he can go to in the playoffs, and he even has another competitive gear when the game's on the line. And I don't just mean scoring buckets. And you watch the games, you saw probably some of the rebounds he was pulling down, or offensive rebounds, just willing our team to victory in any way he could. And that was, boy, a competitive drive like that is you have to almost see that up close to know a guy's like that.
And Nick, that play that led to Kawhi hitting that game-winning shot in Game 7 against the Sixers, is it true that you got that from an old Hubie Brown DVD that you bought in Ames, Iowa? And if so, what did you like about that play?
It is true. It is true. I bought a whole bunch of them when I first came back from England and I was starting to coach in the D-League. I love the play. Hubie, there's a bunch of different options. And I tried it out in the D-League, and I bet you we tied or won about, I don't know, 7 or 8 games in the D-League over the years and always had it tucked away. And that was one option, is to get it to your best player, turning the corner and letting him do his thing.
If you were holding that thing for the right moment, that was the right moment. Now, there's also this famous photo from back when you were playing for Northern Iowa against Wisconsin Green Bay, and future Virginia head coach Tony Bennett was guarding you. You two guys both led teams to championships this year, but that was back when you were facing off in 1989. Do you remember that game?
I don't remember that particular game. I'm not even sure what it's from, but I do know this. Never beat him. I think he won every single game we played. He fouled a lot. He was
right.
He's one of those guys who knows how to foul a lot and not get caught.
That's great.
He was a great player.
Great player and a great coach. Nick, I got to ask you about Fred VanVleet. I mean, he had some really rough moments during the playoffs. He averaged 2 points, 2 points per game against Philly. He had a total of 10 in the first three games against Milwaukee, but you stayed with him. What did you see that made you do that, and how proud are you of the way he fought through all of that and was such a force in the second half of the Milwaukee series and then against Golden State?
Yeah, I think, Jim, like the key game that kind of got him going, or he started playing a lot better, was after he went 1-for-12 in the double overtime win. I know that sounds strange, but he played great. Kyle Lowry fouled out with 6 minutes to go in regulation, and Fred had to play, I don't know what he played, something like 21 straight minutes. I mean, 16 for sure. And he just ran the team. He played great defense, got us into some sets, got the ball where it needed to go. And it was about a day and a half later that in the press conference somebody told me, you know, Fred was 1-for-12. I didn't even know it because I was so happy that he played so good. And I don't know, from then on he started shooting it. I didn't really understand why he wasn't shooting better. He was getting some decent looks, but I figured, you know, he would probably play more to his norm as he got the rhythm of the playoffs down, and that's exactly what happened.
So let me ask you this. This team just has this focus, this toughness in guys like Kawhi and Fred and Serge and Kyle. The list goes on. Where does it come from? I mean, is that something that once these guys get to the NBA, can you still develop that in guys as a coach? Or is that something they just have and need to bring them in?
I think a lot of it, you know, they have it, Jim. But I think as a team grows, you know, that's kind of what chemistry is, or part of what chemistry is. You know, that focus and determination and courage and all that stuff grows as a team gets better. And I think our guys did. They were super focused, man. They were locked in film sessions and locked in walkthroughs and locked in before the game when we were making our final preparations. And they were really even keeled. They never panicked when we got down 0-2 or 2-1. Not at all. They just wanted to keep working and keep fighting and keep playing.
Makes me think, going back to game four, when you had that 3-1 lead and you were coming off the floor, guys didn't even exchange or change expression. So you could see they were focused and they were dedicated. Yeah. So then, Nick, finally, what about the draft? It's tomorrow night. Free agency starts in about a week and a half. How much did you get to enjoy this before you had to get back to work?
I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I'm telling
Good.
You, I'm enjoying
you have
it.
To.
I'll be ready to go for the draft tomorrow, but it's been very enjoyable. There's been so many people in the history of coached or played against or went to school with that have reached out, and that's really a lot of the enjoyment.
That's got to be so gratifying. That's got to feel amazing. He was the 2011 D-League Coach of the Year, first year as Raptors head coach, and led them to their first NBA championship ever. Nick, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you on the show. Congratulations, and I appreciate that conversation too.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's an honor to be on your show.
All right, so going back to Lenny Dykstra, I had this in hour number one. So Lenny, on Father's Day, went to a Subway shop, had a sandwich, forgot his dentures, took them out because the bread was hard, and then proceeded to eat the sando, then left, forgot the dentures. Wouldn't seem like that big of a deal, right? You just get another pair. Except that apparently this pair was worth 80 grand, like bone marrow dentures. So he enlisted the services of a friend, Sprinkles the Clown. They went dumpster diving. And not just dumpster diving, but for 9 hours. They went back. They ran back to the place. And when he said to the workers, "Hey, man, where are my $80,000 chiclets?" They said, "I'm sorry, sir. We threw everything from that table away." They went dumpster diving. And, of course, Nails documented the whole thing on social. So there was a video update on Twitter where he's talking about what's going on. They're looking for his chompers. And then all of a sudden, this motorcycle comes speeding by.
Okay, Nails updating on my search. Come on down here. Look, what Nails is doing is looking for my teeth because I broke it down into these two bags. I have black gloves. But what I just learned is all the waste that goes out there. There's some good food in here, man. Hey! Yes! Hear that?
Oh, yeah, we hear that,
man.
Nails.
That's the nails hanging out in the deep, deep woods, okay? All right, let me find my teeth. I'll be back at you. Turn that thing off.
You know what I love, too? I love the way he turns that into, like, some kind of PSA, like some kind of public service announcement, like a lesson. There's a lesson we learned in this. Man, there's a lot of waste. Like, he's out in there diving in the dumpster trying to find his $80,000 chiclets. And he's saying, man, there's a lot of waste. People are starving. Like, there's a deep environmental message in that. What I just learned is all the waste that goes out there. Yeah, thanks, N. My man's like the smoky bear of sandwich shop waste. Man, there's a lot of good food in there. A lot of good food in there. So about 9 hours later, I mean, that must be some deep, deep dumpster. After 9 hours of swimming around in the dumpster, he and the STC find the $80,000 chompers, Alvy.
Yeah, Lenny, thanks for checking in. Nails never fails, huh? Keep it short. Happy Sunday. Happy. Get the bottom ones out. I don't like the bottom ones. Look, hey, all night, all morning, I just found my teeth, okay? Believe it. All right, happy Father's Day, whatever. You know, whatever, some days, whatever, good day. But I got my teeth. That's all I give a f*** about. Nails out on Father's Day. Check it.
Yeah, it's an insane soundbite. That's incredible. Nails out. That's all I give a bleep about. I got my teeth on Father's Day. Nails out. Check it. You know, there's certain sounds that just make you cringe, right? Certain sounds. Fingernails on chalkboard. People cracking their nails. The sound he made in the middle of that clip. You know what that sound is? That's the sound of Lenny popping out the bottom row of dentures with just his jaw. No hands. Dude straight rockets the bottom row of teeth right out of his mouth without using his hands. Listen to the way this sounds.
Happy Sunday. Happy. Get the bottom ones out. I don't like the bottom ones.
Nails, check that. Listen to that sound. He doesn't like the bottom ones. He popped them right out.
Happy Sunday. Happy. Get the bottom ones out. I don't like the bottom ones.
Like a Pez dispenser. But not with a Pez, but with his dentures, with his teeth. Like, I don't know if that's the most awesome or most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Or the most Lenny Dykstra thing I've ever seen. Man, that sounds awesome. Anyway, all's well that ends well. Nails has his teeth. Sprinkles the Clown got some national run. Jersey Mike's does not have Lenny Dykstra dumpster diving behind their building anymore for 9 hours. Nails, my man. I know you're not one for advice, but Jersey Mike's does offer the breadless sub in a tub option. Maybe you go with that next time so you don't go leaving 80 grand worth of teeth behind in a napkin ever again. Like, it's one thing to put your retainer in a napkin. It's one thing to put, you know, your braces, your Invisalign or whatever you're rocking. Dude said he had $80,000 teeth, bone marrow-based teeth. Bro, maybe you just go breadless. But then again, you're Lenny freaking Dykstra after all, so I know you're not going to take my advice. Oh, and don't at him on Twitter because he's not here for it and he's not having that either. As an example, he thumbed this out. Quote, kind of funny how at it's Dan Avery of At Newsweek failed to note how my grit and determination, ultimately successful efforts, occurred exactly 30 Father's Days after you know what? Bet Juan Samuel wouldn't have shown such resolve. Dude, he tweeted that. My man, leave Juan Samuel out of this, Len. What, you mean Mickey Morandini didn't want in? What are you going to do next? Take a run at Kevin Stalker? And that, friends, is the story of Lenny Dykstra, a wrestler named Sprinkles the Clown, a dumpster outside of a Sando shop, 9 hours on the clock and $80,000 worth of dentures. And that's the sound of $40,000 worth of dentures getting ejected.
No hands. Like the bottom ones.
No hands. Some quick reaction. Hey, Jim. At least Dykstra didn't lose his chicklets down a well like I did. Signed, Baby Jessica. RG in Peoria. Bro, have you not been blocked already? You should have been. You are now. Jim, Nails pays 80 large for teeth, but they can't chomp through a sub? Dude might want to get a refund. Steve in Vancouver. Yeah, honestly, I think somebody gave him those teeth. I think the story is somebody gave him the teeth. My man didn't have 80 grand for teeth. Rome, did Nails make sure to clang two trash can lids as he approached the dumpster so the bums knew he was cool? Mark in Chicago. There you go, Mark. There you go, Mark. I like it. I love Chicago coming in here. Nice job, Mark. You're making a name for yourself, kid. I like that. I'll set that one aside. Dear Lenny Dykstra, why did you go through my house? Signed, T.O. RG in Peoria. RG, I blocked you 10 seconds ago. How did you get back in? Hey, Rome. Check out my new teeth. Love, Ira Craig. War bone marrow chiclets. JR on the 414. Isn't that amazing? Lenny's teeth fit perfectly in Ira's hole. Pie hole. Hey, Jimmy. Where would someone get the inspiration to pull off a 9-hour dumpster dive? Signed, Hawks Marathon Time. Dickie in NorCal. I'm pretty sure he finished that thing in under 8 hours. Didn't you? 6:18, the official time. This guy writes, this is at RevTom.com. Why do Nails' teeth sound exactly like Patrick Reed's broken wedge? That's interesting. Let's find out. Alvin, give me Patty Reed on 18 at the U.S. Open. Oh! All right. Give me Lenny at the bottom of that dumpster. Oh, dude, they sound exactly the same. You tell me which one this is. And this one. Oh, exactly. I can't tell a difference. You're right. Tom R., you are right. Top of the hour, I've got Nick Nurse coming in. Is this Patty Reed? Oh. I only know because Dykstra popping out the bottom row of his bone marrow chiclets is not chased by Zinger saying, oh! Oh! Unless that Sprinkles the Clown doing it. Oh! That's the STC going, oh! Oh! Sprinkles is like, yo, man, do the top row now. Do the top row. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts that you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. These stores' well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jalen Smith joining us. Jalen, nice to have you back on the show. How are you?
Man, I'm blessed. Happy to be here on the show. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Jalen, great to have you. Now, you and I sat down in Atlanta during Super Bowl week. We were talking about the fact that you were going back to Notre Dame to finish up your degree. We talked about the fact that you were taking 21 credits and preparing for the upcoming season, and you still had energy left for a number of other projects, which I'm going to ask you about. But first of all, how is life for you right now? What are you into right now?
Man, life is wonderful, man. It's we just finished mini camp, so we're in that phase of letting your body heal, but you don't want to get out of shape. Just preparing that your mind mentally. So that's really just where I'm at, man. Got a lot of things going on business wise. A couple board meetings coming up, just to make sure everything is locked and loaded before my time gets completely occupied with football.
Jalen Smith joining us. Now, last month you did graduate from Notre Dame, and as we talked about, this is not something that you had to do. You already had a job. You already had a career. You already had a lot of business interests. You were doing just fine. Why was it so important to you to go back and put in the work in the classroom and finish what you started?
Man, for that reason, it's about finishing what I started. You know what I mean? I made a pact with my mother. After I entered the draft, after my junior year, left early, and told her that I was going to finish. And I, you know, after completing my third year in the league, I figured it was time. You know, it was just lingering over my head, and it's something I really wanted to get done for educational purposes and life purposes as well, setting a standard.
Now, you don't strike me as a guy who gets nervous very often, but as you were getting up on that stage to get your diploma, were you nervous?
I was. I didn't think that it would happen because of how confident I am. But, you know, walking up to that stage, you know, I was about third in line until my name was called, and I had to hype myself up. So I was able to put on a show. At the ceremony, if you watch the video, I put it on my Instagram and things of that nature. But it was a wonderful day.
Yeah, I saw that. It was a great moment. Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith joining us. Now, you're not stopping there. You're also launching the Jalen Smith Minority Entrepreneurship Institute. I want to talk to you about the event on July 12th in a second. But how did the Minority Entrepreneurship Institute come about, and what are you looking to accomplish with it?
Yeah, man, for me, it's really my purpose beyond athletics. You know, I've desired to be an entrepreneur my entire life. Was always focused on education, especially my first 3 years, being a professional, being able to really live it and learn it. So gaining access to the quality people and networks and quality investments, you know, I figured that, you know, if I'm doing it for myself, why can I help people that look like me? You know, minorities and black, Latino, brown, you know, it's just about closing the educational and economic gap. So that's why I started the Jalen Smith Minority Entrepreneurship Institute, to provide financial funding and strategic planning and mentorship to these people to these minorities who desire to be entrepreneurs but don't have those three phases.
Excellent. Jalen Smith joining us. So on July 12th, you're going to have the Jalen Smith MEI Inaugural Indiana Showcase. What is involved with that, and how do people get more information?
Yes. I mean, you can definitely visit jalensmith.com/MEI to learn more about the cause. But really, the showcase is the Indiana Showcase. And basically, I'm creating a marketplace for quality investors who desire to, you know, to basically create a marketplace for them to invest with minorities in these companies. I'm partnering with the National Christian Foundation and the Sagamore Institute, who's helping do due diligence on these minority companies. And we just narrowed it down to 10 finalists. So we're extremely excited about that. We're raising $300,000 for this first year. And next year we'll move to Dallas. And each year after, I'll be focusing on a city and a state throughout the entire country. So this is something that's so much bigger, and just trying to use my platform to create a marketplace for minorities, the quality investors.
Dallas Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith joining us. All right, so you've been back to school. You've launched the MEI. You've received a red coat on Fort Wayne. No doubt, though, your focus is on football, and you're coming off a really big season. So how does that impact the goals and the vision you have for the upcoming year?
You know, it's all about balancing, you know, life and business and keeping the main thing the main thing. And for me, I love football. So I'm able to flip that switch. And the team we have this year, you know, we understand our culture. We've built our foundation last year, and now it's about executing from the jump. You know, ultimately, we want to win. and that's everyone's goal, everyone's mindset. So we just got to work every day. We're focused on working each and every day to get better.
Joe, let me ask you about Sean Lee. He raves about you, and I know the respect you have for him. He's actually moving to the strong side this year to make space for you and Leighton Vander Esch in the middle. What does it say about a veteran like Lee where he could have gone someplace else, but he's willing to take less money and move positions and stay where he is?
I mean, it's all about the team, the team, the team. You know, Sean Lee's a team guy, and we all have egos for better and for worse. But it's all about a togetherness. And so I'm thankful to have him as my teammate. I've been learning a lot from Sean, you know, my first 3 years in the league, entering my fourth. So looking forward to playing beside him again. So it's gonna be a great deal, man.
You know, that team started off 3-5 last year, and then Amari Cooper arrives. He joins the offense. They get in a rhythm. You go 7-1 in the second half, and you win the division. You advance in the playoffs. Every season's different, but what was the biggest change in the second half? And do you feel like you could build on that, and does that carry into this season?
The biggest difference was we had to make a decision collectively. You know, we dropped to 3-5, and our backs was against the wall. You know what I mean? We understood that the only way that we could go and needed to go is forward. We committed to that. We vowed to that. And it showed. So the key this year is to have that mentality from the jump.
Hey, Joe, and you're pretty amazing to me in the sense that you only turned 24 a few days ago. I'm kind of curious, how do you explain this level of maturity in the approach you have about looking to make an impact both on and off the field? And how did you come to this at such a young age?
Just different mentors in my life and being very observant my entire life. But I've always I had a purpose beyond athletics. You know, I don't want to be remembered as just a great football player. And, you know, I've just let that desire and the platform speak for itself. I'm all about great energy and great vibes and education and empowerment. So as long as I keep my head focused on embracing each season that I'm in, things will be fine.
Things will be fine. I want to ask you about one more thing that you're involved in. You're an equity partner in iCryo Cryotherapy. For those who have not done cryotherapy, what exactly is that? And what was it like the first time you tried it?
It's pretty much cold therapy. And an expedited time. If you know anyone who's been involved in any sports or anything has experienced taking an ice bath, and you know, to get the real pleasure out of it, you're getting wet, so the change of clothes has to occur, and you have to be in there at least 10 minutes to feel any type of effect. With cryotherapy and iCryo, it's an expedited process. You get in this machine, and you're in there for 2 minutes, and you feel wonderful. It's about, you know, muscle relaxation and, you know, regenerating, you know, recovery and promoting recovery. And I believe it's essential to life, and that's why I believe in it. I've adapted to it, you know, since over a year ago now. You know, I've always looked for ways to improve my health and my mental, and I was able to, you know, kind of rely on cryotherapy and iCryo. So it's a wonderful thing, and I think everyone should be aware of it for sure.
All right, so I've never done this, but I've talked to a lot of people who have, both athletes and non-athletes. People swear by it. How cold are we talking for a session, and how do you feel when you come out of the session?
Say it again, sir.
How cold are we talking for the session? How cold does it get? And then how do you feel when you come out?
It's approximately like negative 200 degrees. But we've been in environments that's much colder than that, especially me being from Indiana. Whew, the wind chill and the wind hits you, it gets ridiculous. But it's like I said, you're in there for 2 minutes, and it's promoting so many great things to from a mental and a physical standpoint.
One last, yeah.
In getting back to, you know, how well you need to be and want to be.
I was going to say, finally, do you go full body cryotherapy or are you more into localized cryotherapy?
I go all the way up to the shoulders.
There you go. Dallas Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith having a very busy offseason but focused on the main thing once again. And he is launching the Jalen Smith Minority Entrepreneurship Institute and appearing today on behalf of iCryo Cryotherapy. But Jalen, we covered a lot of ground once again, man. Great to have you back. Thank you so much. Have a great time with it. And I know we'll run each other down again shortly.
Thanks, Jimmy. Take care, man.
Who do you have? Who you got? Let's go to Melbourne. Justin. Justin, how are you?
Thanks for taking the call, Romy. I appreciate it.
You
Listen,
got it.
Man, I can't wait until Friday. I just want to let all my customers on my route know they won't be getting their packages, and I want to apologize to absolutely no one. How Friday's not a national holiday, I don't understand. I mean, this smack-off field is as deep as my pockets. The most intriguing part is who won't get on the air. All we need is Maury Povich on hold telling the golden ticket callers, you're not getting on the air. But the reason for my call is, since Dickie Flores has taken so much credit for everything that happened on this earth, give me some bleeping credit for real. My infamous call to Gino from San Antonio has woken the bear and will make my man Gino his presence in the 25th smack-off. Sure, he may have given me the hands, but I'll live to fight another day. I mean, calling the jungle is like a hockey fight. It's not whether you win or lose, but having the courage to lob a call and show up. My man Gino is going to go from the greatest caller to have never won to having the greatest call on the greatest day, bringing home the silver smack-off hardware, unlike his boy Tony Romo. 412 for life, Rome. I'm out.
All right, Justin, see ya. I like that. Two calls, two picks. Nooch has got Mike and Indy. Justin in Melbourne's got Gino. Gino has never won the event. He might be the best to never have won.
See you on Rome Friday.
And he said it. See you on Rome Friday.
See you on Rome Friday.
Let's go to Little Rock. Nooch in Little Rock. What's going on, Nooch?
Hey, Romy. What's up, man?
Hey, Nooch.
hey, I wanted to go ahead and start off by saying that congratulations, man. 25th annual Smack Off, the greatest event in radio on the greatest show that's on television now and radio, hosted by yours truly, the greatest host, man. So congratulations. You are the best, and we all love you, buddy.
Thank you, bro.
I wanted to go ahead and pimp my little Smack Off watch party, man. It's going to be at Casa de Nooch in North Little Rock. It's invite only, but it won't be too hard to find because we're going to be burning so much electric lettuce, you won't be able to tell if we're baking bowls like a pottery shop or if Cruz Pedregon is warming his tires up in my front yard. But we'll be getting down. I'm not going to be a chump like Rich Flores and read the menu off to you. All I can say is it's very exclusive. I'm going to go ahead and call my shot while I'm here. The Mike and Indy's going to take it home. I think my boy's got something up his sleeve that nobody's ready for. And hey, Romy, before I go, I have a question. If Lonzo Ball's a Pelican, does that mean that LeVar's going to be creeping around a French Quarter? Because that dude's chompers are more dangerous than OJ stabbing hand. I'm out, Rome.
See you, Nooch. Bake on, bro. All right, so he's got Mike and Indy. He's got Mike and Indy to win the smack off, and he says his watch party is taking place at Casa de Nooch, where they're going to be burning electric lettuce.
Burning.
Mona's not going to take this. Mona's not taking any disrespect. We've seen her act. Mona, good morning. How are you?
Jim, I'm great. It's me, Mona, in Knoxville. Hey, I want you to know, I got a carton of cigarettes and a bottle of pop-off vodka for Friday. I'm going to kill everybody in the smack off. Second of all, I think that Irate Craig might sneak into the Dana Point watch party and steal all the empty beer cans. And lastly, Jim, I think you were a little hard on Jeff in SoCal last week. I was really cool with that joke about Kellen Winslow. And
that's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So I knew the second Mona started talking that was not Mona. But I let it go because I did not know who it was. I was trying to figure out who that might be. Which idiot was imitating Mona? I didn't know. And I waited and I waited, and then I started to get it down to two or three people. And then I figured out at the very end, right as the buzzer came, that that idiot was Jeff in SoCal. You do not get your golden ticket back, dope. No telling whether or not he gets on the air. But if he makes a really good call right now, it would definitely help his chances. Let's go to Vegas. Cal is in Vegas. Cal, how are you? What's up?
How many people you know training for the slack off all day after winning golden tickets back to back? Man, I die for this. I live for this. Striving for greatness, cuz. Clones, I plan on winning my first smack-off on Friday, but I'm not stopping there. I plan on winning multiple titles. Not five, not six, seven.
That's LeBron in Vegas. One problem, Bron. One problem, Bron. You can't win one, you can't win two, you can't win five, you can't win seven unless you're in it, and now you're not. Goodbye, Cal.
Good night now!